timing of the hour, and then our prelude. Let us worship together.
Please stand as we sing 174, His Name is Wonderful, or it'll be up here on the board.
Thank you.
And now let us pray together. You have called us to this place. We are here to worship you. We are to give to you all that we are, and all that you have given to us, we have received or want to receive. Now let us in this morning receive the power of the Holy Spirit to worship you, to feel the power of that strength in us and through us, and let us know that on this day, as we worship you on this Palm Sunday, that we enter the city with you, and we shout, Hosanna, loud Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we open our hearts to that very shouting, and we pray this in the one who entered the city, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is Hosanna, loud Hosanna. It's page 278. The word in the center of Hosanna is loud. Sing as God leads you to do so. Let us pray together. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, but it is also in our hospitals where people have undergone surgery, where people are struggling to live and to find meaning in life. It is in our nursing homes and our rehab centers where people are lonely and struggle with life and need simply the power of the Spirit, and a hand to hold them, to let them know they matter. It is in our streets where people are homeless. It is in the wars that are around our world the presence of the Spirit is there. When people do things that we wish they would not have to do, and some of them do things that they should not. It is there in refugee camps around our world. It is there with the hungry and the thirsty. The presence of the Spirit is with us in this place and will be with us when we go home and will be with us as we live our lives, even if we don't know that Spirit is there. The prevenient grace of God walks with us, letting us know of that need even before we know. The Holy Spirit is present. It is present in those that we would lift up prayers for. So we ask, O Lord, that either silently or verbally, we would lift up prayers for people that we want to pray, be in prayer for. So let us lift those names up. We lift up Mark and Jane both to you this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we do give you thanks, O Lord, for our principals and our teachers. As they enter this last few weeks of school, sometimes the most difficult few weeks, we thank you for those who educate our children and sometimes are more than just teachers. We ask a special blessing upon them this day. Now give us your strength. Let us be in your mercy. And let us pray the prayer you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would ask you to continue singing with us this morning on page 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Let us stand and sing together. Let us pray together. Your gift is the gift of life. May we return our lives back to you, both in our giving and our living. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. When they were approaching Jerusalem and Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door, outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. A nice day for a ride on a colt. Let us go riding with Jesus. May these words bring us strength and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You've got to love the stories of Jesus, don't you? I know that this is that day that he rides into town, into Jerusalem. Nice day for a ride. Nice ride on a colt. It's a beautiful day. And it's a story of him entering the city, and it's a story of him being celebrated entering, and it's a story of him coming in while on the other side of the city, King Herod is coming in riding his white horse as kings are supposed to. We don't know if it's at the same time or not, but history says it's around the same time of the day. And yet, we're on this side with the King of Kings riding in on a colt, or some scriptures say a donkey. We may be fitting, since Mary rode a donkey in for the birth, and it would be fitting, since the donkey spoke in the Old Testament to Absalom, that he would ride a donkey, but this scripture does say colt, so we will go with that. And I want to take this apart a little bit, because it's my belief we read this and we zero in on after he gets there. The Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the throwing the palm branches down, the throwing the cloaks down. But I want to take some time and zero in on the first part. Okay, we'll get to the other part. I promise you. We'll get there. But I want to take some time and read this and walk through it with you. Because there's some things in here that aren't seen as important, but are just as important, if not more important. So watch it, as Mary Lynn had read it, but listen to it. They approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives. So hear that words, Mount of Olives. He's going to be betrayed on Thursday night, Friday morning, as that time goes, and he's going to go out to pray in his normal spot to pray when he's in Jerusalem or Bethpage or Bethany at the Mount of Olives. It's easy for Judas to know where to betray Jesus because he goes to his normal place of praying to pray. Now, some scriptures will say Gethsemane, which is just going to take you another few hundred yards out on the Mount of Olives, but he's still in his place of prayer. Now, normally it would be assumed that his disciples or apostles pray with him, but in the case of Thursday night, Friday morning as we get to it, you are going to see him going and praying and then dividing off from them and being by himself, but still in the same place. So as you read this, the first thing about this story of entering is the stage is set for the place that he's going to pray at his betrayal. Already there, we know this. So what does he do? He sends two of his disciples and he said to them, go to the village ahead of you and immediately you will enter it. You will find tied there a coat that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. Now let's just stop there again. He sends two of his apostles. Guess what we don't know? Which two? Does it matter? Well, in some ways, no. In some ways, yes. I've always wanted the two that were sent. I have no Bible for this, okay? But I've always wanted the two that were sent to be Judas and Peter, the denier and the betrayer. It doesn't say it does, okay? I have no history here. But wouldn't it make sense for that to be the process? Send those two in. Now, it could be James and John. I mean, I know that. But look at it. He sends two in, and he's going to tell them to do this. Go to a village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a coat that has never been ridden. Listen to it. Never been ridden. At Pleasant Hill, as most of you know, the church I'm at first in the morning, we have a nice gentleman there who has broke horses. We asked if anybody there had ever broke a horse or ridden a horse that was unbroken. He raised his hand and said, I used to do that as a kid. Any of y'all ever broke a horse, rode a horse till you got it all tamed down and is rideable? Horses need to be broken. The next question is, if you're in one of the scriptures that says this is a donkey, how many of y'all have ever ridden a donkey? Anybody been on one? As a kid, at Uncle Sant's house, he had a donkey. And we kids love to get on that donkey and ride it. It did not appreciate our presence. And so almost always when we got on, guess where we ended up? On the ground, on some part of our body that didn't feel as good as it did when we got on. Go with that wherever you want to. My friends would say I hit my head, so it didn't matter. But you can have it however you want to go at it. We would ride that donkey. Animals have to be trained to do certain acts. So he's sending them in. He's going to find a colt there that has never been ridden. It has to be brand new for Jesus to ride in, but it's never been ridden. He wants them to do this. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Just say, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately. So let's go through the directions. They're being sent to town to steal a coat and bring it back out to Jesus for him to ride it in. You'll say, well, that's not fair. They don't ask anybody for it. And it's never been ridden. And it goes in and said, if somebody asks you, say the master needs it, it'll be okay. We'll bring it back later. So after church, y'all go out and find a car that's not yours. Get in it. Go for a ride. And when somebody asks, like me, when you're in my car, what you're doing, just simply say, I'm going for a ride. I'll bring it back later. Now you're saying, that's a little stretch, isn't it? And yes, it is. But I want you to see it. Watch the story unfold. Don't just read the entering. You've missed a ton of what's being taught by Jesus and by the Bible by just reading he entered. You have to see the setting. They're going in to get a coat that's not theirs, that they're not going to ask permission for. He's going to send two disciples to get it. And he says to them, if somebody asks why you're doing it, just tell them I need it. You've got to watch it unfold. So as it unfolds, they went away and found a coat tied near a door outside in the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, why are you doing untying the coat? Notice who asked the question. Not the owner. Some of the bystanders. What do the bystanders know? They know that that coat does not belong to them. I always can see, now this gives my age away. So y'all know I'm old anyway, so it doesn't matter. It gives my age away. I always can see at this moment, Chester running down the street saying, Marshall Dillon, they're stealing the coat. Now y'all think, well, that's just weird. It is weird. But think about it. They're asking, why are you taking this? Because it's not yours. I know. I'm pushing you on this, but I want you to see it. So why are you doing and tying the coat? They told them what Jesus said, and they allowed them to take it. I want you to notice the terminology. They allowed them to take it. It says, okay. He says, fine. What'd they do? Well, okay. You can take it. It's allowed. But you better bring it back. I expect it tied back up here by the end of the day. Now, my guess is by the time they get to that point, nobody cares. But at this point, we expect it back. So this is the story. They brought the coat to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. They don't throw a saddle on it. What do they throw on it? Their clothes. Their cloaks. They're clothing the donkey, covering the donkey with their clothes. Not Jesus' clothes. Theirs. And they're making it as comfortable as they can for him to ride on a coat that's never been ridden. And what does Jesus do? He sits on it. Now, Those who take Bible study with me on Wednesday know that I like to look at what it says exactly. So, he sat on it, and people spread their cloaks. I'm convinced that animals sometimes know more than we do. And you'll say, David, they don't can't possibly know. Well, they bring a colt out that's never been ridden, and Jesus sits on him, and what does that animal do? It lets him sit. I mentioned Absalom's donkey in the Old Testament. When he's getting ready to get killed, what does the donkey do? He stops him. Won't let him go forward. There's an angel up there with a sword, brother. We're not going any farther. And then when he starts to beat him, that donkey talks to him and says, why are you beating me? I'm saving your life. That donkey knows more than the human did. Sometimes I believe that those animals see and know more than we ever see or know because we've lost our sense of feeling the presence. We've lost our sense of knowing. So they get here and the donkey, the colt rides, and he is sitting on it, and they spread their cloaks on the road. It's always interesting. We call this Palm Sunday because of the next sentence, but the actual first things that are spread, both on the donkey and on the ground, are their clothes. I guess it doesn't sound as nice to say cloak Sunday, so we're going with Palm Sunday. But if you'll notice that the cloaks are there first, and then others spread, notice how it words it, leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. What got spread? Leafy branches. We're going to make them palms. This sounds better. There are palms in that area, so we can go with that. So they cut them from the field and they spread their clothes on the ground, and Jesus rides in. Now, if he's coming from the mount, or if he's coming from Bethany or Bethpage, it's not exactly a 2-minute ride. Now, it's not long, but it's quite the way to be spreading clothes and cloaks on the ground. But he rides in that way into Jerusalem. And they are spreading them on the ground, and they're throwing them on the ground, and they're cutting them out of the fields. It sounds like they were prepared, but nobody's prepared for this. Not completely. So then those who went ahead and those who followed, notice the difference. Every time we've ever done anything, it's always we've got the people coming ahead shouting, Hosanna, and we have the one who comes in representing Jesus, and we have that comes in, and nobody's ever behind. Notice in this story, it's both front and back. And here's what they're shouting. Now, this is the part we all know. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, if they're covering a distance, it's not one shout. It's not one sentence. It's them continually, both in front of him and behind him, throwing their cloaks, putting the palm branches down, and shouting to who he is as loud as they can as he enters the city, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Listen to what they say and then add the next line, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. We link together the name of the Lord and David in the same blessing. We go back to the fact that Jesus asked the question about how could he be called the son of David and be there before David was. He's trying to get them to understand all of that. And when we link this together, he comes in the name of the Lord and the ancestor David. It's important we don't leave the conversation about the ancestor David out here. It's important that we notice what it says, and then it finishes by Hosanna in the highest heaven. We link both in the name of the Lord, the ancestor David, and the highest heaven, all three in one sentence. We're talking about the past, the present, and all the future out of the kingdom of God and the heaven, the earth, and all that will be, was, and is to come, all linked together in one little sentence of blessing. Blessed is he that comes. Listen to it. Blessed is the coming kingdom. Notice the two things. The one that comes in the name of the Lord and the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Past, present, future. The God that is, was, and is to come. All linked into the one sentence that's being shouted as they're preparing the world for the one that's entering into the city of Jerusalem on a coat. Not the way they'd predicted to come and defeat the Roman army. Not the way they predicted they was coming to rule. But he comes as a baby who got carried by his mother on a donkey to the birthplace. And as a man who comes in as a servant of the people who's going to rise again. And yet they don't know it. That's the entrance. Both from giving the coat that wasn't his and they asked about it and he gets it to the entrance into the city. Now, we're all sure he returned the coat, but it doesn't say so because nobody cares. He's entered the city. He's there. Sometimes I wonder, have we allowed Jesus to continue to enter our city, our soul? Because it's not just the one entrance, but it is the return. Now, you'll notice, and this is the part that Mary Lynn did not read, this is the next sentence. Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and we looked around at everything. It was already late. He went out to Bethany with the 12. Notice in the Mark Gospel, the temple is not cleansed at this point. He enters and he leaves. And other Gospels, it's cleansed at that moment. Watch how they read it. If you read all four Gospels, you'll get the full story. I challenge you to do that. But watch it. We get there, and he goes back out. Where'd he go to? Back to Bethany. Who's he go with? The 12. And they gather. And my guess is they gather at the Mount of Olives for what? For prayer, as the Bible says was his custom. Do we truly believe that when we accept Christ, that the Holy Spirit that is already present in us fills us and enters us with salvation and gives us everlasting life? Because as you read the story, he's coming into the city and he's bringing in that hope and that joy and that blessing for the coming kingdom. He's giving them all they need. And just remember, just a few days from now, many of that same crowd are going to do what? They're going to usher in the kingdom by saying, crucify him. They don't know they're ushering in the kingdom. And it's not the way they expect it. But they do it. They're going to follow through that way. Now this morning, we have a hymn to sing in just a minute. And we're going to have a late reading, one that's not where you're used to it being. And it's there. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing our hymn, Lord of the Dance. We're going to sing all the verses. And then I'm going to ask you to turn with me to page 293 after that. And we're going to read in unison Behold the Savior of mankind. That's how we're going to do our reading this morning. The altar is open for you to come and pray. If you have doubt, if you're afraid that God hasn't done what you believe God should have done in your life, or you haven't received God the way you should, the altar is always open. Listen to the voice of the one entering the city and the voice of them shouting, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Lord, the dance is page 261. I invite you to stand and sing it together. Lord, the dance, all verses. page 293. This is written by Samuel Wesley. One of the few things that was saved from the fire that burned the rectory down when John was a little boy, and they saved him from the brand burning. So read with me these words as we prepare our hearts and souls to leave and go for Holy Week. Behold the Savior of mankind, nailed to a shameful tree. How vast the love that him inclined to bleed and die for thee. Hark how he groans with nature shakes and earth's strong pillars bend. The temper veil asunder breaks, the solid marbles rend. 'Tis done, the precious ransom paid. Receive my soul, he cries. See where he bows his sacred head. He bows his head and dies. But soon he'll break death's vicious cane and in full glory shine. O Lamb of God, was ever pain, was ever love like thine? Let us pray together. And now let us go in peace. It's Holy Week. We have celebrated the palms entering. We have seen all the activities around getting the coat and untying it and bringing it in, and Jesus riding it, one that had never been ridden, calm and tamed by the Holy Spirit so that he could ride in. We have watched them spread their cloaks and the palm branches. We have heard them shout Hosanna. And we have sung about the dance. The dance that never stops and always goes on, because Jesus is the Lord of the dance. And yes, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back, and we will find that out on Thursday and Friday. And yet, there's a leaping up high that's coming. And we will celebrate it on that glorious Easter day. Now let us go in peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let the blessing of God's word ever change us. Amen.